Actually, Mr. Schoonover is our project manager on this, and I'm going to let him do the presentation. Basically, what this is about is we talked at the initiation of the project to construct a paramedic station in Laurel about providing as many, accommodating as many green environmental initiatives as possible. What we present to you today is a result of some research on that regard, in that regard, that will hopefully provide you with some information and hopefully some guidance as to where we'd like to go with this. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Schoonover.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
While this thing is warming up, I'll give you a little update of where we're at with the project. The request for proposal for the building went out on March 9th, right on schedule. We are working with some site contractors to obtain some quotes for the site work, because the site work needs to be done before we start the building. And we're also working to get some quotes on the Del-Dot entrance. A little bit of a quirk there. They are going to require somewhat of a commercial entrance with a Excel lane and a D-cell lane. We have got them to waive off the curb, so that's going to help. We hope to bring all this back to you on April 7th and put it all in one package when we get the bids back. We anticipate this week that we will have the site evaluation plan done. We're working real close with engineering. They're doing a great job of doing this in-house, trying to save some money. We had a pre-bid meeting last Friday. We had 40 people here, so there was a lot of interest out there to do this project. So
was that 40 people or 40 contractors?
Well, we had 40 people, and I think Mike estimated 24 different contractors.
Yeah, 24 or 25 generals, and then a number of subs and suppliers, but another 15 sets of suppliers. Jeez. So 40 sets of specs.
Yeah. So we're going to open those.
Let's do it again next week. Sell some more specs. Make some money.
Yeah. For rent.
So we're going to open those bids on April 1st, and then we're going to come back to you here on April 7th. So my emphasis today is myself, and we have a small work committee, and Eric Hooven is there in the back. He's one of our supervisors. We've been looking at all this green initiatives, and to be honest with you, I've learned a lot about green in the past couple of months. So I want to share that with you. And you should have in your handout my presentation. I'm going to cover four different areas: our building construction, solar, geothermal, and then the tankless on-demand hot water heater. Our building construction, we built a lot of these right into the RFP that's out there now, the 2x6 walls to give us added insulation in the walls and also the ceiling and the floor. The lighting, if you look at the blueprint here or the drawing, you see a lot of windows. We're trying to get natural lighting so we don't have to have the lights on during the day. And then at night, we're doing fluorescent lighting. The windows have been specced with the low E glass. That's the energy efficient glass. Same way with the doors. If the doors have any glass in them, which some of them do to let light in, it has that low E. And then we spec the highest rating garage doors, which is an R13 insulation value. And the appliances, which is a refrigerator, a stove, and a microwave, have been specified to be the Energy Star. The first thing we looked at was the solar electric generation. What happens here is on a nice sunny day like today, we're generating a lot of, it's a chemical reaction that's creating electricity, DC electricity, direct current. It comes into the building, it goes to an inverter, and it's switched to AC current, which is what our power is. On a day like today, we would be, actually the meter would be turning backwards and we would be giving it back to the power company and getting a credit for it. And then at night when the sun goes down, it would go the other way and we would draw back. And the excess that we generate, we get a credit for. So that's sort of how it works. Now, the cost estimate for this project to put these panels on is $51,000. There is a state energy grant available, 50%, so that cuts it down to $25,500. And then it's still eligible for the paramedic grant at another 40%. So the net cost to the county initial outlay is $15,300. This is estimated. So that gives it, and then we're estimating our annual yearly savings on the electric bill to be $1,500. So that gives us a year to pay back of about 10 years. Now we looked at all the different solar systems, and we have some here that aren't recommended because they're not cost benefit that we feel. The heat panels actually Has a little solar panel on it that runs a little fan that brings air in and preheats the air going into the garage. It's $5,000 for two panel sets, which would heat about a third of the garage. But there's no grant funding available, so that takes the cost, you know, way up, or the payback way up. So it's about a 17-year payback for that. So we didn't feel like that was a good thing. And then we looked at hot water. You can preheat your hot water, and then you could additionally heat it. With two medics being stationed there, they just don't use enough hot water to justify the cost of this. So we are not recommending these two systems. Now, when we switch to the AC, the heating and the cooling, the geothermal is pretty interesting. What geothermal does is take, it keeps the, it circulates the water through the ground, which is a constant temperature, versus in the summertime where we're trying to cool real hot air, or in the wintertime we're trying to heat the cold air. So this keeps it at constant temperature and bases the system off of that. What's recommended for the area, because we have somewhat poor water over there, is a closed loop system where it's actually like an antifreeze solution that's circulating in the ground, and then the system draws off of that. It's estimated $16,900 more than the traditional system. We have built somewhere around $11,000 in that RFP. That's what we're kind of expecting that the standard heat pumps will cost. So when you take that into account, the $16,900 plus the $11,000, we're then eligible for 50% of that back on the state energy grant, which is $13,950, and then an additional 40% on the paramedic grant, $5,580. So that makes the county's responsibility, if we did this project, $8,370 estimated, and about a $900 savings on that for the more energy efficient system, and about a 7.1-year payback on this geothermal. The tankless hot water heater on demand fires up when you're actually drawing water. It's an ideal application because the medics, you know, they're there. They don't use a whole lot of hot water, but when they need it, it would fire up and run. It's about $900 more than a tank style, the 40-gallon initial install. There's no grant funding for this, no energy grant funding for this, but it is eligible for the 40% paramedic grant. So that brings it down to around $720 for the county responsibility. And $108 estimated annual savings, so about a 6.6-year payback on this system. We looked at wind power. It's not feasible, even though it seems like the wind's always blowing here. And I got thinking about that. Well, the wind's always blowing here, but a lot of times at nighttime it dies. So we just don't have enough sustained wind in this area. And there's some concerns over having something like this in the neighborhood. Remember, we're in a residential setting there. So that's not recommended. So breakdown of the cost to us, if you decide to tell me to go out and get, you know, real good cost quotes, is the tankless hot water heater is $720, the geothermal is $8,370, and the solar panels for electric $15,300. So be around $24,390 additional cost for the green.
What kind of electric needs you'll have to run the heat pump, or the geothermal be run on electric?
Yeah.
And then everything's totally electric, right?
The fluorescent lights, the computers. We have some battery chargers for the equipment.
Did you compare, like, if you dropped the solar, because solar is so expensive, and with a 10-year payback, if we just went with a standard, you know,
electricity,
yeah, just you know, go with the savings of the, or go green in some areas, but maybe just go with a standard, electrical service and hope that the additional installation and that the geothermal, with its reductions, that we would even have a better efficiency maybe.
I think you would overall have a better efficiency, but with the solar electric, it's estimated to pay about 40% of your electric bill.
Yeah, I'm just
wondering.
I'm just wondering, in 10 years, are we going to be, you know, how's this stuff hold up, and you know, other things like that.
There's not anything been out there past, I think, like 10 years. The salespeople were telling us, but they're expecting life expectancy of 20 to 30 years, but we haven't got that far yet. So,
many kilowatts is that solar?
It's I think it generates 800 kilowatts.
I mean, each panel is 200 kilowatts. How many panels?
There's 36 panels.
Okay, so you're doing about a 6-kilowatt system, 6.5.
Yeah, it's a.
I know that size of building, it should take care of all of it. I've got a 8.4 kilowatts on my house. It's been on there for 6 months, and my energy cost has been pretty much negative. Mm-hmm. When it gets up to 2,000 that I've put into the system, they send me a check. And if you apply that to the small energy charges you got in your previous bills, it pretty much offsets it.
Well, that's great. That's what we're after. Now, I took the conservative approach. I didn't want to overestimate it, but there is a practical application. And I wanted to talk just a little bit about the environmental impact, because that's part of it. And this is, I found this on the website, on the U.S. Energy website from in Sussex County, sulfur dioxide emissions from electric generation is, you know, over close to 20,000 tons a year, and this county is expended. And then the environmental impact on the carbon emissions from fossil fuels or automobiles, basically, is you know, the largest proportion. They're saying 85% of all the pollution is from fossil fuel combustion. So if we're doing these initiatives, we are helping to reduce that. And then I came up with...
Where's the carbons come from?
The carbons come from the fossil fuels.
We don't have no fossil fuels here.
Oh, gasoline. That's a fossil fuel.
Well, where's that going to help? How's this going to help?
Because electrical generation, some of it's done by... it's a mixture. You know, some of it's done by coal, some of it's done by fossil fuels. So we would help reduce that.
Well, you're trying to say the carbons are made down at Indian River...
That's generally
cold. You're trying to trade off? Is that what you're saying? You're trading off your...
Well, what we're trying to say is that by us using that, yes, less electric that may be generated by fossil fuels, then we'll be reducing the carbon.
That's why we're getting the grants.
Providing you don't get your electric from upstate, which has a nuclear power.
Yeah. Your electric, generally, what they come from, it's a mixture of places it comes from, you know, based on where it's bought from. So,
I know we get some of our electric from windmills, actually. So, yeah. So it's not necessarily guaranteed that you're going to save on these carbons. I don't, you know, that's sort of reaching, I think.
That's just to keep Al Gore from coming down here and getting on our backs about something. Yeah.
So our impact on the environment for this one application, this one station, we can prevent... 15 tons of carbon dioxide and about 240 pounds of sulfur dioxide. And that's equivalent to planting 620 pine trees to absorb the pollution or driving 26,000 fewer miles. That's what the equation came out to when I put the numbers in. So,
Are you aware that farmers in this area now are buying sulfur to put in fertilizer because of lack of sulfur? Well, that's true. That's a fact. I can check with your fertilizer companies and you'll find that sulfur is in a shortage in Sussex County.
But that goes back into the ground and it's tilled back in, right?
Pardon?
It's tilled
into back in so plants can grow better. They need sulfur to grow
better.
Sure. So actually, when you say you're cutting off sulfur, it's something that's really not a problem.
Well, I'm certainly not an expert in the area. I think the sulfur we're talking about here. I think what we're talking about here is the sulfur in the air that's a pollutant, not the sulfur that's used
it came in the air before we didn't have to buy it. Now we have to buy it.
There you go.
We have to put it on the farm. We have to put it on farmland. When your soil tests, we're short of sulfur.
Right.
Sam, could you do a little research on that?
I've already done research on that, sir.
Could you bring it back next week in a report?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll bring you the reports. Bring you the reports for the shortage of us.
I think you've done a wonderful job, and I'm very proud.
Let's allow the presentation to continue, please.
Thank you. So the recommendation is the financial report, the $24,390, that you would allow us to go ahead and get some firm quotes on the different systems and bring that back to you on April 7th. And then, of course, the environmental part, we need to do our part.
Yes, we do.
It sounds like there may be a diversion of opinions on the approach we should take, so I will maybe first allow anyone on the council to ask questions.
I think they're following the right path. I don't have any. I think they're doing a great job. We have to set an example.
Ms. Webb?
Bobby, your grants, are they federal or state?
State.
It's a state grant?
Yes.
Over and above your paramedic grant allocation?
Over and above it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's a state energy grant.
State
and actually,
energy grant.
How that's funded is if you look on your electric bill, there's a surcharge on everybody's electric bill that you're paying that goes into this energy grant.
And I understand that fund is used quite a lot. And, you know, I would recommend that we pursue this before they run out of the money.
Well, it kind of changes month to month based on the electric consumption. So it's an ongoing fund, and there's a pool of money there that they pull.
They do have the money?
That's what the State Department of Energy told us. I talked to the guy on Saturday. Again, just to confirm, but he says yes, they do. So.
All right.
As long as you get your check before you start, you're all right.
Mr. Vinson, have you any thoughts?
No, thank you.
Mr. Cole?
Feels good, right, Mike? Let's go for it. It feels good. I feel good about all this.
Then I will entertain a motion if anyone has one.
I have a motion. I will make the motion that, how would you put that, that they continue the program as recommended.
Is there a second?
Yes, second. I'll second that. Be glad to.
All right. I have a motion and a second that we accept, in essence, the recommendation of Mr. Schoonover and Mr. Lutke. And is there any further discussion on the part of the council? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for your time.
All right. See you all.
Good job.